I am so excited this morning that we're going to go straight into the Word, because when the Lord speaks, things happen. Hallelujah. The Lord speaks and things change. When there was darkness, when there was chaos on earth, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Glory be to God. I want you to get yourself ready today to hear the Word. I want you to prepare your heart to receive from the Lord. I was praying for you this morning and I said, "Lord, let their hearts be fertile ground so that they can hear what you're saying and that they'll bear fruit. The Word will bear fruit in their lives." So let's pray for the Word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, this morning we just pray for the preaching of the Word. We pray that your anointing, your power, and your glory would come down even as the Word is being taught. We thank you, Father, that the entrance of your Word brings life. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And today, Lord, we just pray that your Word would minister to your people today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Awesome. You see, I can't hear you. The only way I can hear you is when you say amen under the comments, okay? I want you to comment there. If something comes up that excites you, that touches your heart, I want you to make a comment and also let us know where you're watching from, because you are the congregation. Glory be to God. All right. I don't know if you were with us last week or if you managed to listen to the message last week. If not, we started on a message and a series entitled Destined to Overcome. Destined to Overcome. That is what we're doing. That is what the Lord has been teaching and revealing to us. And today, we're going to go straight into the Word. And we're going to continue on that series entitled Destined to Overcome. Destined to Overcome. Can I hear an amen this morning as we get into the Word? Hallelujah. I'm excited. I don't feel lonely because I know you're there. The Lord is there. The angels are here. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. That is our anchor scripture. 1 John chapter 5, from verse 1 to verse 4. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves him who begets also loves him who has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, but we keep his commandments. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Verse 4. For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. I love that. For everything that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's go straight into it. So last week we began a journey in which we set out to explore a profound truth which says you are destined to overcome. You are destined to overcome. And we introduced this thesis, and in our introduction we learned two things. The first is you are destined to overcome because Jesus overcame on your behalf. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to Jesus. So you are destined to overcome because Jesus took your place. Jesus overcame on your behalf. Hallelujah. And then the second thing that we realized last week was victory is certain because your problems are not unique. So Jesus has dealt with that problem you are facing right now sometime in history. Jesus has dealt with pain, with sickness, with sorrows, and he's going to do it again. Now today we are going to peel another layer around this matter of overcoming. Now, I want to say to you, in order for you to win any fight, you need to know your enemy. In order for you to win any fight, you need to know your enemy. So write this down. If you don't know what you're fighting, you will end up fighting the wrong battles. If you don't know what you are fighting, you will end up fighting the wrong battle. Other people say you're barking the wrong tree. You're barking the wrong tree. That's the wrong tree, and that's the wrong enemy. And I'm going to say to you this morning, if you are ignorant about your enemy, you'll be sidetracked. You'll be sidetracked. And the Lord does not want you to be sidetracked. Now, when John was talking about overcoming, what was he talking about? When John says, that which is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that we have, what was he talking about? And that's the essence of our topic today. So I want to teach you on our second part of this series, and I'm going to talk to you about knowing your enemy. Know your enemy. I want you to look at people that you're watching with, maybe your husband, your children. The person you're looking at is not your enemy. Okay? Maybe you fought last night with your wife or husband. She is not your enemy. He is not your enemy. She might be a picture of what the enemy is trying to do, but she is not the enemy. Hello, somebody. Now, look at this. Verse 4. For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And I'm saying, know your enemy. Do you know the enemy you're fighting? Now, I believe that when the Apostle John wrote these scriptures, at the back of his mind, he had a picture of the occasion in which Jesus, his master, uttered exactly the same words. I believe he had a picture of Jesus talking about the same issue of overcoming. It was on the night before Jesus was betrayed. There was Jesus having his last supper with his disciples and having an intimate moment, with the people that were so close to him, preparing them for the eventuality. And that is when Jesus said to them, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Now I want you to realize that in the human eye, Jesus was far from being triumphant. Jesus was far from being triumphant. You see, there was nothing victorious about what was in front of these disciples at that point in time. You see, Jesus lived a life of a poor man. Jesus told those who were trying to follow him, he says, the Son of Man has no place to put his head. Foxes have got holes, but as for me, I don't have a place that I can call my own. So in the eyes of man, Jesus was far from being triumphant. And lo and behold, at the age of 33, he was about to be murdered. Come on now, at the age of 33, you want to start hitting your peak in your career. At the age of 33, you are strong, you are energetic, you are conquering the world. But there was Jesus almost at the point of dying. And yet, he had the audacity to look at his disciples and he would say to them, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The question is it true? Really? Have you overcome the world? What I look at now is a man who is so weak. It's a man who is so broken. Now, so what did Jesus mean when he declared his conquest? You remember, they almost tried to make Jesus king. They thought Jesus would come as the king who would be marching down Jerusalem to take over from the Roman Empire. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. My kingdom is not of this world. Now, this backdrop and the context of the scripture that we've read in 1 John chapter 5 gives us a picture of the kind of enemy we are destined to overcome. Now, our notion of being victorious in life is when you sit on the head of the table. In a boardroom setup, you sit at the head of the table. You are the chairman of the board. In our minds, that is what we talk about. So when you heard me saying you are destined to overcome, I believe some of you had an image of you getting a promotion. I believe some of you had an image of you getting a new house. Some of you had an image of getting married. Well, that's part and parcel of it, but it's not all of it. If we quantify our victory based on what we gain here on earth, then Christians need to be sorry for themselves. Because when it comes to houses and money and all of those things, people out there in the world, they have a lot of it. There has to be something bigger than acquiring wealth. There has to be something bigger than getting the next big thing. There has to be something bigger than, you know, how much you are loved by people around you. Because if that is the only measure of our victory, man, we have to be sorry for ourselves. There has to be something deeper than that. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with desiring a promotion. But I have seen a lot of defeated folks who are promoted at work, but their lives are so miserable. I've seen so many people with cars and houses, but they don't enjoy their houses. Come on now. That is why I'm saying your victory, the one that Jesus says I've destined you to overcome, goes beyond physical issues. It goes beyond what we can see with our eyes. So John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In other words, when you experience the victory of Jesus, you will have peace even in the middle of what looks like a defeat. Come on now. Because it was Jesus who was about to be murdered who could stand up and say, I have overcome the world. We need to have the mind of Jesus if we are to celebrate what God has given us. So he says, in this world you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, you will have suffering, you will have pain. And then he says, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. Now, I want you to realize this morning, put this down. The greatest enemy that every believer faces is called the world. Come on now. The greatest enemy that every believer faces is called the world. It's not people who are fighting you at work. It's not your neighbor who's always playing loud music. Your enemy is called the world. In other words, before we can speak of a great victory, we need to talk about you overcoming the world, because that is your greatest enemy. Because Jesus came and he says, I have come to overcome the world. And therefore you are destined to overcome the world. The moment you overcome the world, you can speak about any other victory. You see, you can get whatever you want right now in this world, but if you haven't overcome the system behind the world, you haven't overcome. Come on now, somebody. Now the question is, what is the world? Very simplistically, it is the sum total of all outward things that are considered to be hostile unto God. It is a system that has been designed to be hostile to everything that has God's name on it. That is why some of you are believing God for businesses, but you get into it, but the business struggles. It's not because you don't know how to run your business. It is because there is an enemy who does not want you to do well. Yes, you've got experience, you've got the education, you've got the connections, but things seem not to be working. There is something else behind it. I was praying and I was saying, Lord, as this word goes forth, let your people have a revelation of the real enemy in their lives. May they understand what they are facing. You see, so you are destined to overcome the system of this world. To overcome the system that messes up with your life. So the world is cunning by nature. It woos you to trust it, okay? To love it. And you get so absorbed by this Babylonian system to a point that you forget that though you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Hello, somebody. Though you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Now, when you look at the context of 1 John 5 verse 4, the context was our love for God is measured by how we keep his commandments. And John says, and his commandments are not burdensome. Verse 3, And then he then goes to say in verse 4, that which is born of God overcomes the world. See, the principles and the plans of God are not burdensome. Why? Because we have overcome the world. I want you to realize this morning that the world does not want you and I to keep God's commandments. The world does not want you to walk in the law of love. That is why John says, you love the one that begets, and therefore you also love the one that has been begotten. Let's put it in very simple language. You love the one that gives birth, and therefore you love that which has been born. You love God, and therefore you love God's children. You love God, and therefore you're able to look at people around you and you see them as the image of God. You don't see them as your enemy, you see them as your brother. And then John says, this is how we know that you love God, by following his commandments. And he says his commandments are not burdensome. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now listen to me, put this down. You are conquered by the world when it succeeds in hindering you from seeing, loving, and being in fellowship with Lord Jesus. How do you know that you are in a state of defeat? It is when the world has managed to hinder you from spending time with the one that begotten you. When the world hinders you from pursuing what's on the heart of the Father. When the world stops you from carrying out what he has called you to do, then you know you've been overcome by the world. The world is now controlling you. And this is the very world that Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now listen, your extent of victory against the system of the world determines the level of victory you will have in the rest of your life. What do I mean? The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So, what are you prepared to do in order to get a little bit of money? So you get promoted, you are put in a place of influence, but because you want more and more and more, you start breaking the very laws that you know you shouldn't be breaking. But I know I'm talking to a people that have overcome the world. The love of money will not drive you to say the end justifies the means. I know that you are stronger than that. I know that you will stop and say, I can't do this because the means are not of God. Hallelujah. Now let's dig deeper into this matter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to read this from the NIV and then I'll read it from the Message. It says, do not love the world. Do not love the world. Do not love the system that is hostile to God. Do not love the method that fights against the one who died for us. Do not be attracted by a way of life that grieves the one who died for you. Come on now. Do not love the perception to life that is contrary to the one who saved you from damnation. This is what John is saying. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Why? If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, he goes into it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. So let me tell you right now, there's a lot of talk these days. There's a lot of conspiracy. Okay, that says Jesus is about to come. Rapture is about to come. And a lot of people are walking in fear. They are afraid of missing the coming of Jesus. You know, don't be afraid of what you cannot be in control of. Be concerned about whether you love the Father or not. that is within your control, child of God. The Bible tells me here that if you love the Father, you will live forever. Whether Jesus comes right now as I preach, we say, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. I don't need to be afraid. Come on now. The Bible is telling us here, the world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of the Father lives forever. What should you be concerned about? You should be concerned about whether I'm doing the will of the Father. If you do the will of the Father, it doesn't matter whether the trumpet blows right now or it blows another 20 years. For me, it's not my issue. My issue is, am I ready for Him? Am I doing His will? If you do His will, it doesn't matter when He comes. We will meet Him in the clouds. Glory be to God. So He says here, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You remember the Lord Jesus experienced this. He was tempted by the devil around the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you go to the book of Matthew, when he was in the desert, the Bible tells us that the devil took him into three positions where God, Jesus could have tripped, but Jesus stood and says, "It is written. It is written. Get thee behind me." That is why Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. He overcame the world even right on the onset of his ministry. Before he did any miracle, the world came around him, tried to introduce the system where the devil says, "If you can just worship me, I'll give you the rest of the world." Where the devil says, "If you can just bow down before me, I'll give you everything. The kingdoms of this world, I'll give them to you." He took him to the upper part of this temple and says, "Fall down to the ground, because your Father in heaven will put angels over you so that you won't dash your foot against the rock." Jesus would say, "It is written. It is written." So Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Now he says in the Message, listen to this. In the Message version, don't love the world's ways. Let somebody hear me this morning. Don't love the world's ways. Don't sell your soul. And I know you are not of that type. You are strong. You are an overcomer. You are not of those who sell their souls cheaply, because you know that you were purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You are not of the world. And I'm so excited because I see it. And I know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I don't talk to you as the one that is defeated. I talk to one who is an overcomer. Don't love the world's goods. Basically, this is just a reminder. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on trusting God. Keep on standing on the promises of God. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. What does it do? It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. I love it. The wanting, wanting, wanting of this world is on its way out. But you and I, we will live forever. Now, write this down. The ultimate calling upon man is to love and to know God personally. That is our calling. Not to be consumed by the systems of this world. Not to be put on a guilt trip by the system of this world. Your calling, my calling, is to love and to know God on a personal level. So let me say to you, your walk with God is not a public affair. It's a personal matter. Your walk with God is not a public affair issue. It is a personal matter. You wake up in the middle of the night, you're doing business between you and God. You say no to certain things because it's a personal matter. You speak the truth in love because you know it's a personal matter. Hello, somebody. Now, the system of this world is controlled by the god of this world, called Diabolos, the father of lies. And from the beginning, his aim has always been to defile and to mess up everything that has to do with God. Now, write this down. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but is with spiritual powers. Can you imagine? Your hand-to-hand combat is not with the people that you work with. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with your children. It is with spiritual powers in the heavenly realms. The Bible says, we wrestle not. If you have watched wrestling, okay, not WWE, talking about the wrestling you watch at the Olympics, okay, sumo wrestling, whatever it is, at the Olympics, you see how they wrestle, how they want to pin each other down, and this is what is happening in the spirit. And Paul says in Ephesians 6 verse 12, he says here, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. There are three, you can see three categories of these demonic activities or demonic entities. One is called evil rulers. Another one is called authorities of the unseen world. Another one is mighty powers in this dark world. Another one is against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. And I want you to know, when you go through certain issues in your life, you need to see the real cause of those issues. If you've been having a marital problem that seems to perpetuate itself over and over and over and over, my suggestion is we change tact. We need to get into the spirit where we deal with these unseen forces and principalities. Where you say, Lord, show me how I should pray for my marriage. Show me how I should pray for my child. Because if you keep on just going for counseling and counseling and counseling, you need that, but you need to add something to it. When counseling and prayer come together, victory is inevitable. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you today to step up in your prayer life. I want you to realize that when you know that your enemy is not your boss, it forces you to change the way you fight and the weaponry that you use in your battle. You see? Paul told the Corinthian church that their weapons were different. He told them that your weapons feel different. They look different from the conventional weapons that we find in the world. You find that in the world, they'll start ganging up against you. They'll start sending out media press that speaks against you. That's how they fight. But yours looks feels differently. Look at the 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we are in the flesh, for though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Oh, let that sink in. For though we are in the flesh, though you are in your body, you are in this world, but you don't fight like the flesh fights. You don't fight like the flesh fights. That is why the Bible tells us that a good word turns anger around. There you are at work. There are issues that are happening. People expect you to blow out, but you don't blow out. You speak life. You speak love. And then they say, this guy is different. Why? You do not wage war according to the flesh. Verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not weapons of this world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They have what? Divine power. They are enabled. They are capacitated by divinity. They are capacitated by God. And therefore, you enter into spaces that you cannot enter in the flesh. You touch where you cannot touch when you are in the flesh. And I want to challenge you today that though you are in the flesh, but you don't wage war in the flesh. He says, our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. I want to challenge you right now to take your war to another platform. Take your battle to another dimension called the Spirit. Now, as we draw close to the end, I want to revisit that John 16, verse 33. Because when I was preparing this week, the Lord gave me a deeper revelation of this verse. You know, it's okay, you can read it quickly, but I want us to read it slowly. And you'll see the revelation here. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Right? He then says, in the world you will have trouble. In other words, in this system causes you to have trouble. It causes you to have pain. It causes you to have sorrow. It causes you to have tribulation because it's a fallen world. Then listen, he then says, but take courage. I have overcome the pain. Does he say that? Does he say, I have overcome the tribulation? Does he say, I have overcome the sorrow? No. He actually says, I have overcome the world. So what this means by implication, when Jesus overcame the world, Jesus meant that he had defeated the root cause of the pain in this world. He was saying, I have overcome the source of the tribulation. I have overcome the system that manufactures the chaos in the world. He says, in this world, you shall have trouble. But then he does not say, I have overcome trouble. He says, I have overcome the world. Which means our enemy is not so much the pain. Our enemy is not so much the sickness. Our enemy is the root cause of the sickness. And the root cause of the sickness is the spirit of infirmity. So when you pray, you need to have a revelation of the spirit that has caused the pain in your body. When you have a revelation of the source of the sickness will go. Because its master would be incapacitated. I wish this is sinking into somebody's spirit. You've been looking for a job. The problem is not your CV. Your problem is not your origin, where you're coming from. Your problem is not your skin color. Your problem is not where you got your degree. Your problem is the spirit of poverty. Does somebody hear me today? Stop praying that you become likable. Pray that you break the spirit of poverty over your life in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. The world is a system that governs this earth. Because the God of this world was given authority until Jesus came and took back the authority. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, something happened in the spirit. We talk of the great exchange that happened where I was supposed to die. Jesus came and he took my place. But in the spirit, there was a great exchange where Jesus came and took authority from the one who had been given authority by Adam and Eve. So look at this. Colossians 2 verse 14. Having cancelled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us. What are these decrees? This is the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law required you to do and do and do in order to be accepted. If you fail to do and do, you get cursed. So there was a requirement that I could not fulfill. And Jesus came. And the Bible says, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. And having disarmed the powers and authorities. This is the world system. Having disarmed, in other words, he went and he took what this worldly system was using to subject us to captivity and to fear. He disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That is why the Bible says, only if the God of this world had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. When they crucified the King of Glory, that was the end of it. And Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. Oh, Mashata Karabo. Jesus, we thank you that it is finished. Whatever we face, whatever trouble we face, he said, it is finished. He carried it on the cross for us. So in closing, you and I, the church, God uses the church as an instrument to showcase his power and glory, and you are the church. That is why I say, be of good cheer. Be of good courage, for I have overcome the world, and I have given you the keys into the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you agree on earth, here it's agreed in heaven. Glory be to God. The last scripture is we finish. Ephesians 3:10. The intention of all of these things, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The church is being used by God to display his glory, to display his power. And you are part of the church. And wherever you are the church. And the Lord says, I want to use you to showcase my wisdom, to showcase my glory, to showcase my power. It means you become a beneficiary of the finished works of Calvary. Who is your enemy? Know your enemy. Jesus, we are sorry that we've been fighting wrong battles. Jesus, we are sorry that we've been pursuing the wrong enemy. Today, I pray that there's a shift in the hearts of your people. I pray that there's a paradigm shift. Your word says, though we are in the world, we are not of the world. I pray this morning that you'd open our eyes to see. I pray that we see what you see. We feel what you feel in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so today we stand in a place of victory. And we declare that we are destined to overcome. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you so much for spending this morning with us. It has been such a blessing to teach you the word. I don't want you to miss next week. We're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into this series called Destined to Overcome. I'm excited about next week because we're going to peel another layer as we talk about how do we access this victory? How do we access this triumphant life in Jesus' name. May the love of Jesus, may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you until we meet next week in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.